Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Holy Moments. This is our 2025 Christmas series and digs into the times where we are faced with moments bigger than ourselves. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy!
Merry Christmas, everybody here in the house, as well as everybody online. We're glad you're here as we draw closer to the celebration of the birth of Jesus. We're in the middle of this series called Holy Moments, and today we're going to look at another one of those, and I'm going to ask my wife, Cynthia, to come up and read the scriptures.
Morning, church. So glad to be with you this morning, and when we dive into God's word, we just know that those are holy, holy moments. So I'm going to read the story of the shepherds from Luke 2, 8 through 20. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Well, good morning, everybody. As we gather here today, we think about those scriptures. And as I said, we're in the middle of this series called Holy Moments. And a holy moment, I believe, is any time that you and I lean in to making a decision to believe in God, to follow God, to grow closer to God, to respond to God in obedience, to say, "I'm not going to follow the way of the world, I'm going to follow God's way," to push down maybe our own fear and walk in faith. So today we're going to look at this holy moment. And you know, I think holy moments are important to focus about, because to be holy literally means to be set apart. So when God says he is holy, it means he's set apart. He's different. He's not ordinary. He's extraordinary. When we see in Scripture that things, that items are considered to be holy, they're not used for ordinary uses. They're used for extraordinary uses for God. And by the way, God calls us to be holy also. Holy moments happen every time we decide to lean in to God and follow him and his call on our lives. That happens when we believe God despite our own fears. Now, I'm going to be completely candid. One of the dangers of being a preacher is that you read the scriptures so many times you get familiar with it and you forget to see things because you read through them over and over. And I've been a pastor for almost 40 years, and I've read these stories more than 40 times, obviously. And sometimes I forget to see them, and I skim right over things. For instance, throughout this series that we began on the last Sunday in November, every single one of these stories that surround the Christmas celebration, and even the one we'll see on the last Sunday of this month, something supernatural happens. Somebody has a dream and an angel speaks to them, or somebody actually sees an angel while they're awake, or they get a message, a supernatural message. And God wants us to know that there are ordinary things that happen in life, but sometimes there are extraordinary things. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, having a supernatural encounter with God, that would frighten the heck out of me. Or that would just, there's no way I can even believe that. That just adds to my skepticism. But it's been my experience in talking with people and my experience in hearing about people's times when they come to faith, when they have conversions, that oftentimes there's a supernatural element that you and I would honestly find hard to believe. But in all of these stories, we see that, and God can use very natural things. But God is greater and bigger than anything we can imagine, and so He can do whatever He pleases, even things that seem very supernatural. Now, we're going to look at this holy moment from the scriptures that Cynthia read this morning concerning the shepherds. And first, let me just give you some context about shepherds in the first century of Israel. First of all, we need to know this. Sheep and flocks of sheep were very valuable. They were valuable for some of the things that are very obvious. They were valuable for their wool, from which clothing could be made from. They were also valuable as food, and they were valuable also for the skins that they provided. And so in the first century, oftentimes your wealth would be measured by how large your flock was. So think that through about the importance of sheep. And that means that you need to take care of sheep, particularly for one obvious reason, is when it comes to the relationship between sheep and predators, sheep are fairly defenseless. And so they need to be protected. And that's why having shepherds for your flocks, whether you had a small flock for your family or you were very wealthy and had large flocks, it was important. But here's something you need to know about shepherds. It was probably on the bottom of society's jobs, and so also on the bottom of the class system. Shepherds were not thought of very highly. Because of their jobs, they couldn't also be faithful to some of the laws of Judaism, so they were looked down by many of the leaders of Israel, and because they virtually spent most of their time with sheep, they were considered oftentimes to be unclean. And so here we have the shepherds, and they're staying in the fields with their sheep at night, which would be normal. Scholars will tell us that there probably were more shepherds than normal because they believe this was the season when the lambs were born. And so they would be there to help if there was a sheep that had difficulty in birth, or to protect those even more vulnerable little lambs. Now, as shepherds, they had come face to face with predators, wolves, mountain lions, bears, anything that would come and attack. But they probably didn't have necessarily a category for what they experienced that night. When an angel of the Lord broke through the night sky and spoke to them, I would say in this frightening moment, it was also a holy moment. Their holy moment had arrived, because I believe their holy moment was this. Would they flee in fear, or would they have faith? Would they have faith? Now, think about this. If you know anything about the Old Testament, It wasn't that the shepherds had never heard about angels. They probably had just never seen one. There are many stories in what we today call our Old Testament that talk about angels. In the book of Genesis, Hagar is visited by an angel. Abraham is prevented from sacrificing his son, Isaac, because an angel comes and shows him where there is a sacrificial ram to be sacrificed. An angel appeared to Moses at the burning bush. They also probably knew about some of the prophets who had experienced angels. But in the minds of these shepherds, they honestly probably would have thought somewhat like you and I do, that these were the icons of our faith. You know, Moses, Abraham. I mean, of course they would be visited by an angel, but not me, not somebody that's not important like me, not a lowly shepherd. So let me just pause here for a moment just to make a note of something important about the shepherds. Think about this. When God chose to announce the birth of his son, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, he didn't go to a king or to a queen. He didn't go to a president or prime minister. He went to those that were on the bottom of society's pecking order. He went and spoke to them and announced to them the birth of the Savior of the world. Now, Dave Adamson is the Australian director of the YouVersion Bible app, if you know about that. He's also a photographer and a writer. And I follow him on Instagram. He goes by Aussie Dave since he's from Australia. But he wrote something important, and I want to share it with you. He goes, "Meeting a shepherd in Israel changed how I see Christmas." He goes on and said, I once walked toward a shepherd in the Holy Land, and the smell hit me like a wall. Thick, heavy, inescapable. In that moment, every cute nativity set I had ever seen felt like a lie. It wasn't the story of the nativity that was wrong, but the reality, the mess, the shame. You see, we dress Christmas up with soft straw, with glowing halos, clean animals, and smiling shepherds. But the real story was nothing like that. The smell of alone would have cleared the room. In the first century, the stench of sheep marked you as an outcast. Author Alexander Shaya says it bluntly, "To smell like sheep was a mark of shame. If you smelled like that, people avoided you. You belonged on the margins, standing in that field, breathing in that smell. It clicked with me. Jesus chose to be born in a stable in the middle of that shame and mess on purpose." Now, I share that with you because it's important for us to remember that Jesus, he came for everybody. Everybody, from the lowest to the greatest, he came for everybody. And he demonstrated that through the announcement of his birth to the lowest of the low in society, the shepherds. This holy moment that the shepherds experienced thus has many meanings. Now, let's get back to their encounter in the fields. They were guarding their flocks when this brilliantly bright angel appeared to them. And what was their reaction? It says they were terrified. I can only imagine that when one angel was joined by a host of angels, an army of angels, the scripture says, that their terror became even greater. But the angel had a message, and it was a message of good news, of great joy. The long-awaited Messiah of Israel that every Israelite knew about, longed for, wondered if the Messiah would ever come, had been announced to them. Now, shepherds are not known as scholars of the scriptures, but they knew what it meant that God had sent the Messiah. And as frightening as that encounter was, the news was amazing. Maybe for them it felt too good to be true. But the question is, would they believe the message? Would they believe this message was from God in the midst of all the panic and fear that they felt? Truth of the matter is, you can't be human without experiencing scary moments in life, right? We've all had them. Scary moments happen when the doctor walks into the room that you're in and gives you a diagnosis that you never expected. Scary moments happen when a relationship or a marriage begins to crumble. Scary moments happen when the boss says that your position has been eliminated. Scary moments happen when you get a phone call that a loved one has been in an accident and is in critical condition. Scary moments happen all the time in our lives. Scary moments happen when there's not enough money to pay the rent or to make the mortgage payment. They happen all the time. But the question that you and I have to ask ourselves when we are faced with a scary moment is, will we believe that God is with us in that moment, as scary as it is, or will we just shrink back in fear? Believing God in a scary moment can be hard. I'm sure I'm not telling you anything new. I'm sure you've experienced that. It's possible in the shepherd's scary moment when they faced this angel and were told this message that a Messiah had been born, it caused them to pause for a moment. We don't know what it actually looked like. And it's possible when they heard that the Messiah had been born in Bethlehem, and the angel also said in the town of David, because that's what it was known as. That was its nickname. It's possible that something clicked in their memory. Something clicked. David, wait a minute. David, the greatest king Israel had ever known. David was a shepherd at one time like us. And as they thought about that, I suspect they would begin to recall some of the stories that they had been told about David from all of their upbringing. And they would have remembered that one day while David was a shepherd boy, his father sent him to his brothers who were in the army of Israel, and they were fighting the Philistines. And they would have remembered that when David got to the battlefield, what he saw shocked him, because there was the army of Israel and there was the Philistine army, and they were on separate hills with this valley in between them, and there was no fighting going on. And he was shocked, but then he learned and heard that there was one mighty warrior from the Philistines, huge, a giant of a man, called a champion. We call him Goliath. And what we know about Goliath is that he was bigger than any other man. And what was going on was Goliath was coming out to the battlefield every day, and he was giving a challenge to the Israelites and saying, listen, we'll end this very simply. If one of your soldiers will come out and fight me, the one who wins will make the other's army their servants. And he witnessed that, but what he also witnessed was no Israelite soldier would go out. They were all afraid. They were scared to go out and fight this Goliath. Now, the thing we know from Scripture is that David had grown up protecting the family flocks. He had grown up taking on lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. You knew that was coming, didn't you? He had fought them. He had protected the family flocks. He knew that God was with him. And so when he saw this, he, to a degree, there was an incredulous nature about how he felt, because, you know, there were his fellow Israelites. There was the king, King Saul, and nobody was willing to go out and fight this soldier, even though he was bigger than any other soldier that was there. And so David, the shepherd boy, He went up to King Saul and said, I'll fight him. And the king tried to arm him with his own armor, but it was too big for him. And, I mean, let's think about this. Obviously, there had to be a little bit of fear and intrepidation. I mean, we're human. David was human. He had to have some of that fear because he was volunteering to fight Goliath. But he went forth. And as he went forth onto the battlefield, instead of approaching in fear, he believed that God would be with him. And as he approached, Goliath ridiculed him, made fun of him. Are you sending a boy out to me? He said, a dog with sticks. And David's response was this. He said to Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. In saying that he came against Goliath in the name of the Lord, David was demonstrating that he knew that God was with him. So in this scary moment, David had faith that God was with him and that he could go out and fight this battle and be victorious. He did not shrink back in fear. It was a moment, a holy moment, where he believed God. Now, as followers of Christ, we all know that when we're confronted with something scary in our life, we can become consumed by fear, or we can believe that God is with us, and he'll help us walk through this scary moment in our lives. Let me remind you what the Bible says about Jesus. And this happened hundreds of years through the prophet Isaiah before the birth of Jesus. It was a prophecy that was spoken and that we now understand was about Jesus. It's from the prophet Isaiah. He said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. So many of you may be familiar with the scripture because not only is it in the book of Isaiah, but it's actually quoted in the Gospel of Matthew to Joseph when he has a dream about one night, and he's wrestling with should he marry his fiancée because it appears that she's been unfaithful to him. And this angel speaks to him in his dream and says he should take Mary as his wife. And then the angel quotes this scripture from Isaiah, and the scripture reminds us that this child will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel is a Hebrew word that literally means God with us. And receiving that message, which probably was also a scary moment for Joseph, he accepted that God was telling him to do this. And so he took Mary as his wife. So when we face scary moments, we need to remember that God sent Jesus to be Emmanuel, God with us. And we can step forward in faith that God is with us in our scary moments. And when we do that, it's a holy moment. Now, knowing this, we can think that this is the end of my message this morning, but we'd be leaving that holy moment incomplete. I want to go back to the story and remind you of what else we read about what the shepherds did. I would think that once their hearts stopped racing as the angels left and they said, let's go see. It's just down the road in Bethlehem. Let's just go see if what the angel said is real, is true. This was their holy moment. They had to decide. Would they believe or would they not? And they decided to believe. They had faith. They left their flocks. They left the fields. And they went to Bethlehem. And they saw the baby who was the Messiah. Now, this holy moment wasn't complete just by seeing Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. Let me ask you, how do you know when somebody believes something? What's the evidence that they have faith in God? It's right there in the verses. I'll read them to you. The shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. And the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Think about it. If we don't believe something, we don't feel it's important. We don't tell anybody about it. We just let it go. We forget about it. It means nothing to us anymore. But if we believe something, and then we even receive confirmation that what we believe is exactly what we believed, we tell them. We tell others. We tell people because we know it's real to us and we've experienced its reality. And the evidence before us is that the shepherds returned telling everybody that what the angels had said had been exactly as they had heard and seen. I'm going to add one more important insight to this story about what the shepherds did. As followers of Jesus, we know the importance of sharing our faith. We do that to encourage Christ followers with our testimonies of what God has done. That you've heard some of those during this series. We also share with folks who maybe aren't yet followers of Jesus what he means to us as our testimony, so that maybe they too would consider putting their faith in Jesus and believing in him. We do that to be good witnesses of what God has done in our world and in our lives. In the Bible, the Apostle Peter is credited with writing two letters. And in one of those letters, this is what he writes. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give you a reason for the hope that you have. But do it with gentleness and respect. Our holy moment came when we decided to believe in Jesus and follow him. But it doesn't stop there, because we're supposed to be prepared to share with others the hope that we have found in Jesus, what he means to us, how important he is, how he has changed our life. And I always appreciate that last phrase, but do it with gentleness and respect. We're not supposed to beat somebody over the head with our testimony or with our faith, but to share it with gentleness, with respect, with graciousness. So I'm grateful for the story of these shepherds. I'm grateful of the stories of David, the shepherd boy who became king, and all the other stories in Scripture that encourage us to believe and to follow and to take steps of holy moments in our lives. I am grateful for brothers and sisters in Christ who share their faith with me and with others to encourage people as they go through difficult times, as well as to witness to folks who are not yet followers of Jesus. I want to encourage you to continue to share what God means to you. I want to encourage you to let people know what he's doing in your life, because when you do that, you're sharing the good news of Jesus. You're actually stepping in to a holy moment. A holy moment that may turn into a holy moment in somebody else's life when you share that with them. Now, as I've shared this message with you today, maybe it's revealed to you a place in your life where there's a holy moment opportunity. Maybe something that God is sparking in you that he wants to do. Maybe you're facing something pretty scary in your life right now. I mentioned some earlier. Maybe you've received a health diagnosis. Maybe your job is being eliminated. Maybe a loved one is going through a crisis. Maybe your relationship is failing. Maybe you're having financial issues. And your holy moment is this. Despite your fear, will you believe that God is with you in this moment? Will you believe and let other followers of Jesus come alongside of you to be the hands and the feet and the heart of Jesus in this scary moment in your life? If you're not going through one of those scary moments, will you come around somebody who is and help them and support them? Maybe your holy moment is you realize, you know what, I've never really believed in Jesus, or maybe I need to recommit to believing in and follow Jesus. And today is your day to take that step and into a holy moment to say, I believe and I'm going to follow him. And in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell him that through a prayer. Or maybe you know someone that you need to share about what Jesus means to you, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Think of who that person is. This is your opportunity to have a holy moment to go and share with them. In this season of the year, this is actually fairly easy and natural because people are open to celebrating Christmas. So invite them to one of our Christmas Eve services. They're at 3, they're at 5 o'clock, 3 and 5. And we'll share with them about Jesus, who is Emmanuel. And then you can tell them what Jesus means to you. So wherever you are in those scenarios, I want to pray for you today. I'm going to start off with a prayer for someone who wants to put their faith in Jesus for the first time or make a recommitment. And I would say this, if you make that decision today, would you let us know? You can send us an email at connect@valleybrook.cc, or you can take that connection card in the back of the seat in front of you and write that on you, and we'll connect with you and just give you some free material to help you with that decision. So I want to give you that opportunity to pray now, and then I'm going to move into a time of prayer for all of us after that. So if you would, bow your heads, let's pray. Father, as we gather here today, we recognize that every time we believe in you, that's a holy moment. And so, Lord, I know there might be someone today who's finally said, I believe in you, Jesus, and I want to follow you. So if that's you, or if you want to make a recommitment to him, just pray these words to him silently, where you are here in the room or in your homes. Dear God, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he came to earth to pay the price for my sins. And I ask for forgiveness. And I believe that after he was crucified, he rose again from the dead. And now I want to follow him as my risen Savior. And we'll say amen to that prayer. Lord, I pray for everyone who hears this message in the room or online who's going through a really frightening time. Whatever it is, that they would know the truth, the reality that you are Emmanuel, that you are God with us. So that they will know that God is with them right now through your Spirit and through fellow followers of Jesus. And I pray that you would move in the body of Christ to gather around people going through difficult times and care for them. And then, Lord, I know that some of us know that there's somebody we want to share what you mean to us with them. So I pray that you would give us the courage, the boldness, as Peter challenges us to do, to share the hope that we have in you in a gentle and a caring way. Help us to do that for your glory as we take a step of faith into a holy moment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.